This morning, thank you for praying for me, Dom, but before I preach, I want to pray for us and for myself. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We thank you that you're already here. We ask, Holy Spirit, that even as we preach this morning, as we bring the word, that you would infuse us, encourage us, lift us up, and speak truth into our lives. Fill us, change us, move us forward. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Once again, welcome to those at home or wherever you might be. And so this is part 11 of Walking with God. But also, there's no point in doing a whole series Walking with God if we don't talk about walking with Holy Spirit. And so today I want to talk about walking in the power of Holy Spirit. I'm reading this verse from the Message. I just love the way the Message puts it. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Isn't that a beautiful? I love that verse and the power of it that speaks of the complete Trinity of the Godhead. It's key for us to understand that this is not about religion or about being religious. This is about a person and the persons of the Godhead and the relationship we have with them. Often people will tell you, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, that's also taken to various degrees. And we have to understand that we cannot have relationship with the Father unless we have relationship with the Son who sent Holy Spirit for us in to help us to deal with this fallen world. Jesus paid for our sins. He came to reconcile us back to the Father. Well, the reality is, people say, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, He doesn't. You have the option to pay for your own sins. I would suggest that you don't take that option. I would suggest that you take the option that He gave us. Hell is not a place God sends you because He's mad at you. Hell is a place where you get to pay for your own sins. But we understand that Jesus came, died on a cross, paid it, as young Nestor said for the diagram of this cross, to remind him of who paid for the sins of the world. And we get to, when we reject His free gift of salvation, because Jesus already paid for it, we have to understand God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you. God is not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He is madly in love with you. So the first thing is the promise of Holy Spirit. John 16:12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is important for us to understand this. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus speaking. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Interestingly, Jesus is saying now that I haven't taught you everything. He said, why? Well, because you can't bear it now. You're not ready for it. You're not mature enough. You won't get it. So there is someone else who's going to come in to help you. And I haven't taught you everything. He's alluding to another teacher that come. We know the Spirit of Truth, the Parakletos. And He says, I will send you another comforter, that Jesus was the first one. Holy Spirit is also under authority and will teach you the same vein that Jesus has taught us. Holy Spirit doesn't come with all His own different ideas to confuse us. What the Father has said, the Son has said, and what the Son has said, Holy Spirit will say. And so here we have three levels, three understandings, if I could put it, of the same truth being taught to us. He will declare to you the things that are to come. The statement of Jesus leads us to anticipate the formation of the New Testament church. of the church under dispensation of His loving gospel grace. This refers to our new dispensation which we live in right now, because the Spirit would guide us into this dispensation. He will declare truth to us, and He is helping us to understand that there is no longer going to be a visible example. That's what you do is when you cross visible and example, you get visigal. It's a new word. When you get a visible example of Jesus living on earth, and now you say, no, that's not going to happen anymore, but I'm going to send you a comforter to dwell with you and dwell within you, to work from within you outwardly. The infilling and the empowering of Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Luke 3:16 then goes on and says, John answered them also. This is John the Baptizer, not John the Apostle. I baptize you with water, but He who is mightier than I is coming, the straps or the latches of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that is exciting. When He tells them He is not unworthy, what is John the Baptist? Because everybody was building up John the Baptist ministry for John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist says, no, number one, you need to understand, first of all, I am not the Messiah. There is one coming who is greater than I am. Secondly, I'm not even worthy to be His servant. I can't even undo His sandals to actually wash His feet. He's not even trying to set Himself up. And what He was saying, in essence, is the bridegroom will come and not only baptize you with water, but He's going to baptize you with fire. Water baptism is a command from Christ's teachings of burial and resurrection, cleansing. Fire is salvation, purifying. I love what Dom was saying, because while he was talking about miracles this morning, I'm going, every day there's a miracle and someone gives their life because we were dead in our trespasses and now made alive. Yeah, that's a miracle. Fire is a purifying agent, an internal purification, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. John was delivering this new information of drastic changes the way people thought up until then. It was in external rules and laws that they abided by, but now it was nothing from the inside out. But now John the Baptist is saying, when He comes, we're going to get baptized in water and we're going to get baptized in fire, and that is going to be from the inside out, a new thing. Holy Spirit was sent to live, and that's why I say, when we come together, we don't have to beg and plead, oh, Holy Spirit, won't you come? Because He's already here. As you walk in the doors, He is with you. If you're a believer and be filled with the Holy Spirit, He is with you. And so when we walk in here, He accompanies us in here. And our cry is to see more of His manifest presence, more of His miracles, not our miracles. And continually, often, sometimes we feel guilty, and we come to church, we ask for forgiveness, and then sometimes we are so guilt-ridden and so hopeless that people even stop coming to church. Well, I just got to deal with this by myself at home. Impossible. You can't do that. The tragedy is too many Christians have not allowed Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Means we don't behave like we used to behave. Thank you. One amen. Yeah, you know, as I said, you got masks on, you can still say amen. It's okay. Frustration builds in us when we I can't do this. I can't be a good Christian. You're right. That's the truth. You can't do this in your own strength. Holy Spirit, come, baptize me in fire. Take hold of me. Go through the waters of baptism. Change me from the new person inside out. And that's when we should be shouting hallelujah, amen. Okay, don't. Those at home, hallelujah, amen. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, good. Number two, we change by Holy Spirit from old man to new man. That doesn't mean just man, that means man and woman, mankind. Ephesians 4:21, a week before I spoke a bit about this, last week Janine alluded to this again. Assuming that you have heard about Him and we're taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You talking about me? Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, don't put up your hands, and at home you can put up your hands, it's okay. If you've ever been to prison, you can put up your hand. And what happens when you go to prison, you go in your civvy outfit, your civilian clothes, and when you get there, they give you a nice, colorful uniform to wear that everyone else is wearing and go, hey, look, we all got jumpsuits on. Isn't that nice? And then what happens is that you got to wear that and you behave like a prisoner. You get told what to do when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you can eat, when you can't eat, when you can go to the washroom, when you can't go to the washroom. And you get told what to do day in and day out, and your behavior becomes like that of a prisoner. Except that when you are released, they take that away from you and they give you a whole new, your old clothes back or your new clothes now because you haven't worn them for a while, and you come out and you maybe you've lost some weight or you've put on a few kilos and you need to go and get some new clothes and you put on. And the thing is that you don't have that same attitude anymore. You don't behave like that. You actually, I can go where I want to go. I can do what I can go to sleep when I want to go to sleep. I can wake up. I can eat what I want to eat. And so this is the first thing we have to understand, is that when we put on these new clothes, we change and become new, even putting on different clothes. Have you ever heard of the expression, clothes maketh a man? Yeah, any of you guys and girls, you've gone and bought a new outfit and you put a new outfit on or a new suit and collar and tie and you go, man, I feel like $1 million. Well, that's the point. You're putting on something that makes you feel good about yourself. Fundamentally, Paul says that the Christian, there must be a break from the past. Jesus is not merely added to your life. And I've said this many times, sometimes we think Jesus and church and what we do here is just like something has been bolted onto our life. And this is my life and I carry on and Jesus just added. And if you think that way, let me help you this morning. Jesus becomes everything. You change the way you think. You change your attitude. You change your behavior. You change your speech. You become the new man because Jesus is all, in all, through all. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is over all. He was born on this earth, created us to worship Him. And that's why I love seeing you all here and gathered here together, worshiping Him, giving glory and honor to Him. He becomes our new life. You go on and reread verse now. This one looks like I got bored at home, and I just thought I'd just color in some stuff for you. But there is a reason. Let's just read it through. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Somebody said, well, you can't ever get angry. No, you can. Do not let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So now I've done a little diagram for us to look at, and so here we go. I trust you can all see that. So we have in the left column, we have old man, the prisoner, as we've spoken about. Then in the middle, we have new man in the freedom, who's in liberty and freedom. And then on the right, the result of the new man, just taken out of that scripture that we've read. Old man, put away your falsehood. Quit lying. And that means any form of lies. Well, I just told a little. No, there is no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Half-truths. White lies. Not telling all of the story. Lies of, what I call lies of omission. You don't tell everything. You just give enough information so that people will think something else. That's a falsehood. Does it sound too tough? Well, it's just Bible. No fudging or spinning the truth to satisfy yourself or to get your own way. New man, speak the truth. And the reason we do that is because we are family, members of one another, the Bible says. It's not the cool idea that Pastor Mark came up with. Why? Because we consider others first. We consider every others before ourselves. Sad thing is most of you haven't got that. You haven't come to the revelation. Well, this is, my family is me and Bridget and Louise, and I don't know about the rest of you. No. My blood family is me, Bridget and Louise. You are all my family. We are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ together. And we consider one another before we consider ourselves. We think, Bible says, be sober about yourself. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You don't understand. Yeah, I do. Trust me. Second thing, the prisoner, the old man says, be angry and do not sin. Well, we all get angry from time to time. Yes? Yeah, okay. Okay. Even righteous anger. Angry about things that anger God. You know, God gets angry. He's not angry at you, but he gets angry at stuff. You can read that in Scripture. Not self. Then it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Means that you need to know how to control and get your anger under control. It says, deal with it quickly. Don't get all sulky, pouty, and not speak, and husbands and wives sleep in the other room or on the couch or the living room or whatever the case. Don't allow your children to get into that habit. If you get angry, get angry. That's fine. But don't get angry about, well, I've just been done so much wrong and nobody cares and nobody loves me. No. We got to control our anger. Why? Because the Bible says, give no opportunity to the devil. Don't let the devil come in between you. When your anger gets a bit of you, your lack of self-control is evident, leads you to sin. And instead of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit or walking with God, you're walking with the devil. If I could be so bold to say. Let the thief no longer steal, old man. Now, that refers to a whole bunch of stuff. Actual theft, of course, but also theft of time and resources. Those of you still working at home, do your due diligence. Do properly. Don't be taking staples and pencils and erasers and all that from the office. That's called stealing. Doesn't belong to you. And you can imagine for yourselves right now what that means to you. Don't steal your boss's time. What does the Bible say? Let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. It means work and provide for yourself and for your family, and that you have enough for others. Why? Because it says, ability to share with others in need. You think I'm just doing this for you, for me and my family? No. If you want to be the new man, you're doing it for others. Isn't that awesome? You get to share of what you're doing. I know some people don't get that yet, but I hope for today we will, Holy Spirit will speak to you. No corrupting talk to come out of your mouths. That means vulgarity, tasteless jokes, coarse speech, yelling, ranting, screaming. New man, only such as is good for building up. That's all that comes out of our mouths. Speak only that which is edifying, positive, good, and imparts grace, the Bible says. Our words are meant to bring comfort, edification, and uplifting, not dragging people down. I just want to say this. If all you can do is say stuff to bring somebody else down, what a pitiful person you are. And I'm losing friends fast and furious. That's okay. My job is to speak the truth and speak the gospel of grace, and help you to grow and mature into that. Ephesians 4:30 goes on and says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. of God, who by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we live in the left column, we grieve, Holy Spirit. He is grieved with us, mainly for our own sake. Not because he's offended, but for our own sake. Because he knows what misery sin will cost us. That's why the Father hates sin, because it damages his children. He reads our sorrows and our sins. Don't put your hands up. If you have a fight with somebody, you walk away, you go, man, I feel good about that. Or do you go, oh, geez, I wished I'd controlled myself. I wished I hadn't said that. I wished I hadn't done that. I wished I hadn't. Or do you walk around thinking, oh, I'm so justified now. I gave them what for. I feel good about myself. And trust me, there's stuff out there that you maybe you want to feel good about. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we make idols of other things and neglect the things that will help us to grow and to mature in our relationship with the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 again says, verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. In verse 23 it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So there's a reality. We can quench the fire of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, by our doubts, by our indifferences, our rejection of him, or by the distraction of others around us. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor, the devil made me do it. That is probably the most weak and pathetic excuse anyone could ever give. It means that you've given yourself over to something else. How about, Pastor, you have to understand, Jesus made me do it. Holy Spirit within me gave me the courage and the power to step up and say no. No, we don't. We always go, oh, the devil made me do it. Or, they made me do it. No one can make you do anything you don't want to do. When it says here, when people draw attention to themselves, when they, oh, it's all about me and how I'm feeling and it's all me. What are we doing? We're drawing attention to ourselves, and it's sure to quench the Holy Spirit. It says, sanctify you completely. The idea here is to be set apart, to make something different and distinct. Breaking off old associations, making new associations. That's the whole prison clothes, new clothes idea. How's this for an example? The ladies will get this one, I think. It says, the example, address is address, right? Well, to us guys, address is address. But to most ladies, address is not just address. How about a wedding dress? That's a sanctified dress. Why? It's a special dress. It's for a special occasion. It's to set apart for a special, glorious purpose. God wants us to be set apart. To wear, no guys, don't freak out. God wants us all to wear our wedding dress, our robes of righteousness. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to wear this robe of righteousness every day. Holy Spirit has come to empower us to live for Christ in body, soul, and spirit. I know for you guys that are married, I've seen it so many times, the macho dude at the altar waiting for the bride to come down. I'm talking about big, strong, football, rugby, hockey, men standing at the altar. Joking with their buddies, the minute that bride in that dress appears, they just, you see that bottom lip, guys. And they just go, you see the little tear run down the cheek. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Holy Spirit comes to empower us. Can you imagine when Jesus sees us regaled in our wedding dress, in our robes of righteousness, and we follow his ways, we live in the second and third columns. His imputed righteousness, we allow him to change us from the inside out. Unless this happens, we will always be at enmity with ourselves, the fallen world we live in, because there is a war raging within us. Let's talk about the war within, a war within body, soul, and spirit. Because number one, our spirit is drawn to idolatry. I'm not idolatrous, okay? Idolatry is the worship of everything else other than God. Your possessions, your money, your careers, your cars, your houses, your vacations, yourself, selfish, self-righteousness, because mostly it's about me. It's about what I need, what I can get, and what's important for me. Doesn't mean you don't love God. Let me be clear. But it means you also have other lovers. It means other lovers that steal your affection away from God. God must be the first priority in your lives, the primary relationship that you have. Bible says, you shall have no other gods before me. And all of the we're thinking of little graven images and idols and everything. No. Your life, your what you're about, your status could be your idol. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I know the principle there, but the point is that we are truly incapable of serving two masters. We cannot divide our affections, because what actually happens, we have divided loyalties. And the Lord, the God, is saying, you cannot have divided loyalties. Why? Because if you understand Matthew 6:33, if you seek Him first, everything else will be added, and His righteousness will be added to you. But we need to make Him preeminent in our lives. We treat God as a God of chop change. Only give a piece of God, ourselves, to God, when He gave all of Himself to us. Think about that for a moment. Second thing, our soul is drawn to pride. When we have an unhealthy view of ourselves, an unhealthy soul spirit, pride is a killer. Four words. Pride is a killer. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. If you're prideful and haughty, you're headed for destruction. It's not a maybe, it is a truth. And a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, not some of us, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride breeds selfishness within us. Pride breeds unwittingly that you are the celestial being in the rest of the universe. No, I don't need help, they need help. Husbands and wives, no, I don't need help, she needs help. Wife, no, I don't need help, he needs help. No, you both need help. Is that okay? Are we all right this morning? I'm just trying to help us step up and step forward into the things of the Holy Spirit, that we walk in His power. Pride brings frustration and anger. Even after you've spoken or acted in anger, you walk away and you think, well, there you go, that's it. Allow Holy Spirit to change you from the inside. Make that heart of stone allow it to become soft like flesh. Thirdly, our body is drawn to lust. Now, that's a strong word, but I don't necessarily mean to sexual lust, because there are other lusts. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. I didn't write that. It was written thousands of years ago for us to suck onto and believe. What you see, what you want, and worst of all, your pride, all are not from God. All are our desires. And we've got to be careful with what we look at, what we talk about, what we see, what we imbibe, what we desire. Lust is when your body desires something and calls the shots. an internal war when you have allowed your body to behave like a rampant two-year-old. Those of you who have and are getting there or have been there will understand exactly what I'm talking about. When we allow our physical needs, our pleasure needs, to run unchecked. Hedonism and Epicureanism argues that pleasure is the primary, and they have it two different facets. One is of the mind, one is of the physicalities. They say, if it feels good, then just do it. Now, I can tell you there's a lot of stuff out there that might feel good. If you were honest, in your sin, some of the stuff you did in your sin was, man, that was fun. If you're honest. Sometimes sin is fun. It's not good fun, though. It's bad fun. We want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How's this? Have you noticed that when you come here, you're all on your best behavior? I know some people even, they tiptoe into church. They always, and if you're very, let's pretend this is my Bible, and then we carry the Bible at the right angle, and we speak in hushed tones. You know what? Because somewhere in your upbringing, in your church upbringing, you've been told this is the sanctuary. When you're in the cafe, we're like, wah! And you come in here and you're like, it's a holy place. This is not a sanctuary. It's just another building, another room in an auditorium. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you are the Lord's sanctuary. You are His temple. You are His. There is no such thing in our new dispensation of brick and mortar sanctuaries. I know often churches still refer to this as the sanctuary, but if we think about it and acknowledge what that means, this is not a sanctuary. It's just a very, now because it's hot outside, it's very cool here, and then wintertime it's going to be warm in here, and it looks pretty, and it's nice. If it's raining, it keeps us dry and all that kind of stuff. God doesn't live here. God lives where you go. Wherever you go, He's with you. You know, He's like, you know, sometimes when we're doing the prisoner kind of behavior, we should look around and see that God, are you there? Are you watching? Oh, yeah. Hello. And we need to get that into our understanding. Thank you. Because the Bible teaches that you are the church. You are the sanctuary, a dwelling place, a building, His body, members of His household, a holy temple. We are meant to come together like this. We were created to come together as His body. That's part of it. 1 Corinthians 6:19, let me move on. Or do you not know that your body, oh, there you go. You know, some of you thought I'm making this up. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. There we go. Well, it's my body. I'll do what I like with it. If you're a Christian, it's not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Romans 12:1-2. When we are here, we are able to go through those motions and behave and be nice and smile politely and talk nice to everybody. The problem is that when we step through the door, we walk out the door and all of a sudden we forget about all that stuff. And I want to encourage you, remember, you are the temple. You are the Holy Spirit. You are the sanctuary of God. So wherever you go, take that breakdown that I did. Be number two, and the reason you're being number two, because of number three. Allow Holy Spirit to take full control of this human sanctuary. Number four, the power of Holy Spirit in me. We're going to go a little bit long this morning, but that's okay. Give yourself over to Holy Spirit. The prophet of old said it this way in Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. How do I know Holy Spirit's in me? Because the Bible tells me so. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the spiritual transformation promised in the new covenant. Instead of the law working from the outside in, I have to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to go there, we've got to go to the temple, we've got to give the sacrifice, we've got to do this, we've got to pay this, we've got to do that. Can't do this, can't do that. God promised a new heart to work from the inside out. When we try and live this double life or two lives, you know, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde idea, you will become exhausted. I don't understand why I'm tired all the time. Because you're trying to be and do what you're not meant to be and do. Allow Holy Spirit. We preach enough times on finding the rest in Christ, resting in Him. Allow Holy Spirit to fill you. Be baptized in water and be baptized in fire. Allow purification in our hearts to take place. Get rid of the junk. I know some of you say, well, Pastor, when I come to church, just tell me what I have to do and what I don't have to do. And I'll come back next week and we pull out the checklist and we'll just tick off. No, don't put that on the elders. Don't put that on the pastors. Our struggle with sin is more of an indictment on our relationship with the Father than it is to do with our self-control. Because when we have a relationship with Him, we will know that we behave like the new man. Holy Spirit will put a righteous spirit in you. So finally, three invitations to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me. Please show me, Holy Spirit. Show me, put your finger on the areas of my life where I need to change. You can't change what you won't acknowledge. If you're always blaming somebody else, you are never going to change. Here's a hot tip. I cannot make Bridget change. Bridget cannot make me change. Go, Holy Spirit, help me. Psalm 139, verse 23, David writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I've had to pray that prayer a few times over my life. Search me, test me, know me. I just want us to take 30 seconds right now. I want you to, as you are there, say, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me the areas in my life that I need to change. There's no point in preaching a sermon if we're not putting it into action. Say, Holy Spirit, show me. What areas are there that I need to change? The second thing is, Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, change me. Once He's shown you, ask Him to change you. Just remember, though, there's also an act of our will, choices we must make. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David's cry. Allow Him to change you. Understand, we need to have the mind of man is death, but the mind of spirit is life. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Again, take 30 seconds. Holy Spirit, change me. The areas that He's revealed to you. Holy Spirit, change me. God, I don't want to be that old man. I don't want to be in my prison garb. Jesus, you came and you died and you paid for my price. You purchased me off that block of slavery. You broke the chains of my life. You set me free. Thank you for sanctifying me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord God, that you justify me and bring me into righteous living. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, change me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul expresses a negative here. He says what the saints are to stop doing, along with a positive command, what the saints are meant to be doing. Drunkenness is a picture of excess and out of control, clouding our behavior and judgment. It leads to debauchery, the Bible says. In contrast with this, being filled with the Spirit leads to self-control along with other fruits, in the, as we know in Galatians 5:22 and Acts chapter 2:4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Just take time now, as you sit there, just Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Fill me again, Holy Spirit. Overflowing. Show me, change me, fill me. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Bless you. Thank you for coming. And before we go this morning, thanks, Wapna. Yeah. As you've prayed those prayers, there will be a ministry team here afterwards for you. If you want some, today is really a day to do some business with God. There's no shame, there's no condemnation, but why don't you just offer yourselves this morning? So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Thank you for being with us. As I keep saying, this is the worst time for me, saying goodbye to you all without getting to hug you and high-five you and all that kind of stuff, and I think the other pastors and their wives think the same. But if you just open the doors, tithes and offerings as you leave, thank you for your generosity and your kindness. Have a wonderful day. And there will be the ministry team up here. Just wait for everyone to leave, and then they will be here to minister to you. God bless.